As we're here at the feast looking forward to the kingdom of God, we hear messages about what it is that we're going to do, about the jobs that God is going to give to us, and we anticipate what it's going to be like. It's surreal, though, isn't it? I mean, as far as looking forward to the future and the return of Christ and all those things that we always talk about. But as we believe the scriptures, we see that we're going to have jobs in the world tomorrow. And notice Daniel 7:18, it says, "But the holy people who belong to the Most High God," that's us, "will receive the power to rule." And we will have the power to rule forever from now on. Well, God proclaims that if we do our part, God will do his and give us grace and mercy. We'll be a part of his kingdom and we'll have power to rule. What does that entail? We've talked about some of that at the feast so far, about what some of our jobs will be, some of what we'll be doing in participating and bringing other people along into God's family. Be priests, teachers, judges, ruling justly, parents to the orphans. Now, when the millennium comes, there will be a lot of orphans, as was being spoken of yesterday. A friend. Jesus said, "You are my friends. You obey me." We, as God, if you will, children of God, will be friends to people in the millennium, in the great white throne judgment. Kings, talked about rulership, about authority, about being kings. And it says if you're faithful, you'll rule over 5 cities or 10 cities. Would you take the place of your mayor, wherever you live? Your governor? The king? You want to become a justice on the Supreme Court? How would you do to be a child of God? You know, as we think about those things, I think it's a little bit daunting to us, isn't it? I mean, do you ever feel when you think about God using you to rule with power forever, how you'll do? Do you ever feel a little bit like Solomon? Solomon, when he was given his job as king, said in 1 Kings 3, verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around." And do you ever think too, how would I ever be able to rule this great people of yours? Luckily, in the 1950s, my cousin joined the Air Force. And right about the time my parents were being called in San Diego in 1960, we moved back to Michigan for a short time, and I had the opportunity to crawl up in my grandfather's attic, and there was a box there containing my cousin's comic books. Oh, did I ever love them. We had Marvel comic books, DC comic books, and I'd get up in my grandfather's attic and read through those comic books and look at all of the superheroes that were there saving the world. And I was so excited about that. Is God going to use superheroes to do his job in the world tomorrow? A definition of a superhero is a heroic character, usually possessing supernatural or superhuman powers, who is dedicated to fighting the evil of his or her universe, protecting the public and usually battling supervillains. Oh, I don't know if kids, if your parents don't like to let you watch these movies, if your parents are in charge, not me, but I love them. I really enjoy superhero movies now. There are a lot of them. It's the new fad taking place. Sorry about that, Mr. Star Wars, of Star Wars, and so forth. Will God use superheroes in the world tomorrow? Is that what he's going to do? To create Superman and Spider-Man and all the other men and women that are superheroes? Or is he going to use you? Now, I'll tell you a little something about me that even my closest friends are not aware of. But I'm ready for the job. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Now, unfortunately, I went to the feast and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. I did not actually, I know it's surprising some of you, I'm actually not a superhero. I'm one of you. But is God going to use the likes of us? Now, no, the answer to that for many is that, well, yeah. I mean, after all, the scripture says in Philippians 3:21, by his power to rule over all things, he will change our simple bodies and make them like his glorious body. Well, that's the answer, right? It is, in part. 1 John 3:2 says, now we are children of God, now, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, what positions we'll have, what all the world tomorrow will entail. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. So we're going to be like Jesus. We'll become like God the Father. So, then suddenly, we're going to have all these qualifications to rule, right? Will we suddenly be qualified to rule? Now you think about it. Jesus Christ returns, went through the Day of Trumpets. He comes in the heavens with power. And you, all things considered, will rise to meet the Lord in the air. It says I will forever rule with him, will live with him for 1,000 years and reign with him for 1,000 years and a millennium. So is that what's going to qualify you to rule? Because you're changed and now all of a sudden you have all these characteristics that Jesus has. How did Jesus gain all of the characteristics that he has? He was God. He was the eternal creator. He was there in great power. But in order to be our Savior, in order to be our high priest, in order for him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he had to come down and be like you. Are we suddenly going to be qualified to rule because we're changed to spirit being, or are we to use God's power now to become like him? We've actually been talking about that through the whole feast. Most of the messages have in some way made this statement or this concept that what we do now is necessary for what we are going to be when we're changed to spirit beings. And living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, and then the millennium, and then with him forever beyond that. And I want to ask you the question today, which is the title of my sermon, Are You Using Your Superpower? And we like to fantasize about superheroes with their superpowers, but do you know that you have access to the superpower, God's Spirit? God does give us limited superpower now to qualify us to be glorified beings when Christ returns. What is this power, though? Now, I enjoy movies with like a lot of action and power, and even if it's just the good guy getting the bad guys and bringing justice and all that type of thing, I personally enjoy them. Again, apologies to parents that their kid's going to say, Mr. Scriber does it. John 14, verse 16, Jesus told his disciples, as he tells you, the Father will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He's saying, you guys are going to need some help. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. As he tells all of us, you guys need some help. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. And then, fulfillment in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He says you'll receive power. How powerful do you feel? If you're baptized, you receive God's Spirit. How powerful do you feel? Let's first ask, what does God's Spirit do? What is this power that he's talking about? We'll give you a few examples, and the Bible's full of them. It's a great study just to go through and study the concept of the Spirit and what all that means. But 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, when Samuel was talking to Saul, he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you'll be changed to a different person. And then do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Now, when you were baptized, what you asked for, what God gave you, is repentance. And he granted you forgiveness, and then you came up out of the watery grave. What did they call you? A new person. You buried the old one. You came up a new person. And God's Spirit, and it's in different degrees. It's not all one thing. You know, I think sometimes we like to put God in our box to our limited understanding of who God is and what he does. But let's not put God in any box. Just look at the scriptures and see what he does. But we see that when God gave the Spirit, in whatever manner and to whatever degree he did, that God changed Saul's heart and the Spirit of God came upon him in power. And as long as Saul was humble and used God's power to do God's will as king, that's what you're going to be doing if you're a king in the kingdom, to use God's power to be a king, he was fine. But when he started doing it Saul's way, he lost the power. And we've been talking about, in a lot of the messages, about using God's, or being the person you need to be in order to be a part of the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? Well, if we're there doing it on our own, like Saul ended up trying to do, we're not going to succeed. We're going to have power. But how does this happen? Romans 8:16 says, "For his spirit joins with our spirit." When you study the spirit of God, you see that it has many manifestations. There are different degrees of power of the spirit. You know, the spirit moved over the waters and did something physical to change the waters. He created with his spirit. All the creation you see came from God, and however he did that, it's part of his spirit. It's what came from him to come into existence. And then there's an animal instinct, which is a higher level of spirit than a rock. Okay. And then there's man, who has his spirit that is a higher level of spirit than an animal, an instinct. And then there's God's Holy Spirit that progresses on into another level. So God's spirit is great. You know, there's man's spirit, there's physical power, there's emotional power from God's spirit. We pray for that. There's intellectual power that God gives us through his spirit. There's spiritual power, but his spirit joins with our spirit. And then John 14:17 says, "The spirit of truth dwells with you and shall be in you." It's quoted already in the sermon here. And what do we tell our children? Well, God's spirit is working with you. That's how you can understand the truth. That's one level of God's spirit. And then when you're baptized, you repent, go down under the watery grave of the laying on of hands, you receive a higher level of God's spirit. Again, however God does that, I'm not going to try to explain it all or put it in my box. But Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive this gift of the Spirit," the Holy Spirit. So he says, "I'm going to give you power." Whether it's the power he gave to Saul, I don't believe Saul received God's Holy Spirit in the same way that you do upon repentance. But he received, however that portion was of God's Spirit, to be a different person. And again, I don't know how God does all that, so don't ask. Just believe it. What does God want us to do with his Spirit? With his power? I think right now, practice. If you're going to be ruling over cities, if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to be a priest, if you're going to be a king, how is that going to come about? We'll be ruling in the world tomorrow, but God is not going to give us this unlimited power as a spirit being without practice. That's what we've been talking about in several of the sermons and sermonettes at the feast. You know, the United Church of God Home Office has begun a fairly extensive training program for those that would come along as new ministers, as pastors, to give them training, to give them practice before they set them out there. At least that's ideally what we all want to do. Well, they set them out there as a pastor and say, "Okay, now what?" You train them. That's what God's doing with us. We are trainees for the kingdom of God right now. As Solomon said, "I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around." And I think that's how we all feel, really. Is that we're going to be superheroes. We're going to be children of God. But we actually feel as though we're kind of training right now, right? We've got our training wheels on as we're practicing to be rulers in the world tomorrow. I don't know how well you can see this, but anybody Anybody happen to know what picture this is? It's out of a movie. Okay, you know Peter Parker? When Peter Parker got in this situation where there was a spider and some electronic charge or whatever happened, he suddenly gained some spider powers, spider superpowers. And in this section where he finally, you know, I mean, where he gets these powers, he doesn't know what to do with it. You know, and he's knocking over lamps as he's trying to do a web. And then he finds that I can do like a spider, and he shoots out this web. And he's trying this out right now. And this is, if you can, he slams into a billboard as he's trying out his superpower. And that's kind of like us. As Paul said, Romans 7:18, I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. You know, God gives us his spirit, and he gives us this lofty goal of being a part of his family and the kingdom, but we're slamming into billboards sometime, right? We're not always succeeding. Romans 8:26 says, so the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. And what this is all about, we're talking about the superpower from God, is God supporting us in our weaknesses. And all of the things that we've heard, you know, when Mr. Foster beat us up in his sermon, and, you know, let us know, no, I didn't say that, you didn't love. Let us know, hey, we got some things to do now. And how are we going to do that so that we can do things in the kingdom? The Holy Spirit comes to our aid. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, build up your strength in union with the Lord by means of his mighty power. That's a concept we all understand. I mean, we need God's power. The sermonette was talking about tapping into that power, maintaining your filling your tank. We don't do the tank by ourselves. We do it with God's power. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. You know, these superheroes most often, and I've not seen all of them, but you see, you know, Peter Parker there when he's trying out his superpowers. And he's got this suit. Batman's got his suit. Iron Man's got his suit. You know, and they put these things on so that they can be superheroes. Well, we know superheroes don't exist, but what God tells us is put on that power. Don't try this by yourself. Remember, in the discussion or the definition of a superhero, that a superhero is a heroic character usually possessing supernatural or superhuman powers. When God gives you some of his spirit, you have a supernatural power from God. It's amazing to think about. You become, in a sense, a superhero because you have superhuman powers, because it's not you. It's Christ in me, right? Who is dedicated to fighting evil. What are we doing here? Satan's attack is out there every day, as has been pointed out in many different ways. And we are fighting against the evil. And we will be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ when Satan, the evil power, is put away. Protecting the public, usually battling supervillains. We are going to be teaching others in the world tomorrow, and we will have overcome the devil. So how do we do that? In Ephesians 6:12, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in unseen the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's like they describe a superhero, right? But this is the real world. This is really our job. This is our task. How do we go about that? Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor. Think about the superheroes. This Tony Stark only had powers when he put his suit on. You only have powers when you put on God's armor. And there are sermons given about it, and there are articles written about it, and just reading the scripture raw tells us about God's armor. So you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you'll be standing firm. And then 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, we do live in the world, but we don't fight the same way the world fights. We fight with weapons that are different from those the world uses. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. We overcome Satan. We become at one with God through God's power in us. And right now, again, we've got to practice even if we're not feeling it. It's been brought out in a couple of the messages, too, is that you're not always there, right? You don't always feel like getting up and praying. You don't always feel like being nice to somebody. You don't always feel like doing these things, but even if we're not feeling it, you know, we're not really feeling like the superhero, right? And I think this is probably the way many of us do feel. We get discouraged. We get depressed. Some of you suffer with that depression. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, don't be discouraged, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you and help you to become the superhero God wants you to be. Isaiah 40 verse 2 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So when you're not feeling it, when you're going through your everyday routines and your everyday problems and discouragements, being fired or being flunked in school or whatever it might be, you gotta go to God for that help. And wherever we are in our spiritual lives, we need God's power to help us. So let's ask the question, what does God's superpower help us do? You know, is it leaping tall buildings in a single bound? Flying faster than a speeding bullet? More powerful than a locomotive? I don't know if they use that anymore for Superman or not, but in those 1950s comic books they did, or in the early 60s TV series they did. Does God's superpower help us to gain an important position in the church? Is that what it's about? Oh, I got ordained, so that makes me have a superpower. I'm an elder. Superpower. You know, Simon in Acts chapter 8, in verse 18, it said, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Part of that power was being displayed in healings and that type of thing. But what he was after, verse 19, let me have this power too. What was he wanting from the power of God? You know, he was a magician and people looked to him and they liked his acts and he liked the things he did, but he realized, wow, this is fake. They've got the real power that comes from God. Give me some of that so I can impress people too. Okay. So people can look to me. Remember Saul, when you were little in your own sight, then I was able to work with you. Then you big in your own sight, you lost it. It doesn't work together. Is it the power to squash people in the millennium? Okay, you're going to have the power, and they're going to do what I say or else. Swiftly destroy those in the great white throne judgment. I was having an interactive session one time with a congregation and was posing the question that in the millennium, when people don't come up to the feast in the first year, what are you going to do? You know, the Bible says basically what some of the process is, but one of the responses was, "We'll wipe them out. You're not coming to the feast. Zoop, you're out of there." I think they were missing a little bit of the concept of what God wants us to be like and how he wants us to deal with people. God's superpower helps us to have the mind of Christ. I don't know if this drawing comes very clear, but there's a large hand reaching to a smaller hand, a little bit like Mr. Star Wars was talking about, but helping hand. Isn't that how Jesus Christ uses his power to help you? The helping hand? Do you get what you deserve? I love Dave Ramsey's response. Better than I deserve. Right, how you doing? Better than I deserve. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. Christ's mind is summarized with Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And our interaction with people needs to be one of looking forward to helping them. Even when they're the worst scoundrel out there that you can see in the world, to realize that they have the potential to be a part of the kingdom of God just like you do. To be children of God just like you do. And how do we react to people? I know I have a hard time with it. Oftentimes, reacting the way that I should. Being who I'm told I need to be. First Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, "God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power." What does he use in connection with the power here? Love and self-control. You know, it's not the power to show your greatness. It's not the power to destroy. It's not the power to show how good you are or all the things you can do. But it's a power of love and the self-control. Some of those things are the toughest things to do, right? You know, the fruit of God's Spirit, we're going through that in the Deuteronomy 6 youth instruction lessons this year. The fruit of the Spirit. You think about it. If you have God's power, what does God's power in you look like? It looks like love. If you're using God's superpower, his Holy Spirit, joy. It's tough to show joy in trials, right? Rejoice in your trials. Yeah, all right. I don't feel it, right? I'm not feeling like working through this trial right now, and I'm not very happy. Well, what do? Well, you go to God, and you say, "God, I need your superpower to feel joy, because I ain't feeling it. I'm not making it. I'm depressed right now. And God, I want to tap in. I want to put on this piece of armor that I need in order to be able to do what you want me to do." peace. Boy, we haven't been very good at that. To have peace in our family relationships. To have peace in a congregation. To have peace. Why are there so many church groups? Well, one reason, and there are a lot of different reasons, but one is we weren't able to get along. Didn't have peace. We didn't have the power from God to show patience. Now, is this discouraging? We're talking about receiving power from God, and now he's just talking about all these stupid things. It takes God's power to have patience sometime when you don't feel like it. So what are they doing over there? Why don't they get this done? Why don't they want to get the music started quicker for those little kids? Who have patience? Pray for patience. God, give me part of your power. That's patience. Jesus, you're so patient with me. Father, thank you for letting me stay around even though I mess up so many times. God's patient with us. If you're going to deal with people in the world tomorrow as a child of God, as a king and a ruler and a priest and all those things, you got to have patience. People don't come up during the feast. Well, friend, we'll not send them some rain. We'll get their attention. Next year, well, we'll make it a little tougher until they get the point. We want to reach their hearts. Okay? We need some patience. We need kindness. Goodness. You know, the person cuts you off on the road, you don't feel like being nice. You don't feel like being patient. You say, God, help me to have this power to control myself, to not fly off the handle, to be respectful, to not be rude. It takes power from God. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it. Gentleness. Self-control. You pray to God. You know, sometimes we pray to God and say, God, give me your spirit. I need your spirit really badly. And maybe many of you do, but try looking at a specific circumstance you're struggling with at the moment and pray for that aspect of God's power. That part of the armor. That part, and say, God, right now I need to be more gentle. Because, man, I was not very kind to that person. Those are the qualities of the Spirit. Strong people don't pull others down, they lift them up. That is powerful, to lift people up, to be kind and merciful and gentle as Jesus Christ and God the Father are to you. So what does God's superpower help us do? In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so you look into some of those qualities of love. Love is patient and kind. Boy, I wasn't very kind today. I didn't speak to my wife nicely today. I was rude to the maid or, you know, whatever it might be. Is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Does not demand its own way. Is not irritable. Pre or post coffee. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Boy, they did that to me. I will never forgive them. I'll get them for that. Love never gives up. Never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstances. And that's not you or me, generally. Those are things that come from the power of God that we have the opportunity to tap into. So, are you using your superpower to become like God? That's what the superpower is all about. Yeah, God's going to come in strength and in power, and Christ is going to rule and come with a rod of iron and so forth, but comes down to it, we need God's superpower with love. Let's look at a couple more ways we use God's superpower. Ephesians 1:17 says, I keep asking that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We pray for wisdom. We don't like Solomon prayed for wisdom. I ask the Father to give you the power to be strong inwardly through the Spirit. Can't make it today. God can help us. Chapter 3, verse 18 of Ephesians, and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. You know, when you really understand the greatness of Christ's love, then, like the message has said, your attitude should be that of Jesus Christ. You really understand that He was God. He divested Himself of eternal power, became a human being like you and me. That's the power of love that He wants us to have. Even on physical levels, and sometimes we think in lofty ways of God's power, we should, because it's unlimited, completely limitless, but yet, even in physical things, Exodus chapter 35, verse 20, Moses said, see, the Lord is called by name Bezalel, and when they were to build the temple, well, how do we do this job? How do we do this product? He's filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship. And he's put into his heart the ability to teach, essentially referring to his trade here. But you ask for the wisdom and ability to teach when you've got a sermonette or when you're teaching your children the Word of God. Even to do the physical jobs you do. You know, and I know these folks that have set up the hall and the facility and everything have prayed for the ability to do the task, to make the connections right, to do that. And does God help us do that? Sure He does. He uses His Spirit to help us do even physical tasks, to teach youth instruction, do hall setup, at work. God, help me to do a good job so I can be a good example to my employer. And then He'll let me off the feast too. You know, help me to do a good job. You pray for that. God's got the power to do that. It's not a great spiritual thing, but it's something that God says He gives you the power to do through His power. And on a physical level, you know, Judges 14:6, the Spirit of the Lord entered Samson with great power. And he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. Now, I'm not suggesting that you, you know, go out and challenge a bear somewhere and ask, you know, God's power to help you to do that. But every time it talks about Samson, and it says the Spirit of the Lord entered him and he did something physical. Samson did not have the spirit of wisdom. Oh, yeah, Delilah. But he did give him the power to do this. That's what I'm saying. Ask for specific things sometimes that you need. Say, God, specifically help me to do this. 2 Samuel 22:30, indeed, with your help, I can charge against an army. By God's power, I can jump over a wall. You may not be leaping buildings in a single bound, but how am I going to make it through this day? You know, some of you say to the ministry and the pastor, and it's really true, I don't know how you do it. I says, I don't either. But you pray for God for the power to be able to get through things and to live up to the task. How many of you prayed to be able to see Mount McKinley or Denali? Anybody? A few of you. I did. My wife and I prayed we'd be able to see it. We did several different times. Now, I don't have the faith to move a mountain into a sea, but I really believe that God would help us to be able to see that beautiful mountain. And the last 2 days, McKinley was totally cloud-free. You could see from here. I don't know if any of you noticed that. And at Denali, it opened up. I said, God, if it's within your will, help this to happen. I'd like to see a moose. We saw some great moose. I know God has answered your prayers even on a small way, using God's power. How should we use God's power in us? It says Luke 11:13, your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Ask him for specific things. What things do we ask for? Is it like Simon, who wanted great power so he could impress people? Imagine when you ask God for the Spirit, that God is asking you, why do you ask? What do you want my power for? What are you going to do with it if I give it to you? Might be a good thing to think about when you're asking for that power. For to do jobs for Christ in the world tomorrow, we'll need to have actively lived his way of life. How should we use God's power? 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. As the body of Christ, it says God's given you his Spirit, whether it's working with you or it's in you, for the good of other people. Verse 7, something from the Spirit can be seen in each person for the common good. It's interesting going through here. He says there are different manifestations of the Spirit. Yeah, but why are we doing it? Why do we want it? Why do we want the power? To help God destroy evil. When Solomon asked for help, 1 Kings 3:11, because you've asked this thing and not asked for long life for yourself, you haven't asked for riches for yourself, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Well, we want justice, don't we? As we look around this world today, and it's so rare. But he says, behold, I've done according to your words. I've given you a wise and understanding heart. Because he wanted it for the right reason. So we use God's power to grow spiritually, to use it to serve and help others, to do the work, to become like Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Verse 18, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Be reflecting his glory in love and patience and mercy, all those things. And are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And the Spirit isn't one static thing. As I said, it's everywhere from the creation of a rock to becoming a God being. And then even when we're a God being, God's going to have greater glory than we do. But we are here having ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is his Spirit. And so the more we grow, the more we'll be closer to being glorified spirit beings in the kingdom. There's going to be more of that superpower given to those in the millennium. And as we're dealing with people, that superpower, God's Spirit, this is how it needs to be reflected in us. And this verse that I'm going to quote describes Jesus. And it needs to describe us because we're becoming like him. Isaiah 11 verse 2 says, the Lord's Spirit will rest on him. And project this to you and the world tomorrow to help the orphans and the widows and the deaf and so forth. A Spirit that gives extraordinary wisdom. We'll need that. A Spirit that provides the ability to execute plans. How am I going to run a city? Solomon says, I don't know how to come in or go out. Well, he'll give you the extra wisdom to be able to execute plans. Isaiah 11, verse 3 says, he'll take delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by mere appearances or make decisions on a basis of hearsay. Now we need to practice not listening to gossip or taking a side against another without knowing the facts. He'll treat the poor fairly and make right decisions for the downtrodden of the earth. And we ask again, are we practicing to rule now? And what does that look like? Luke chapter 6, 27 says, love your enemies. Do you need God's power to do that? I do. It's tough to love your enemies. You're not up to it. Do good to those that hate you. It goes against every normal thought. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those that are cruel to you. Then you will have a great reward, and you'll be the children of the Most High God. Because He's kind even to people who are ungrateful and full of sin. You want to be like God? You want to have the power that comes from God to be able to rule in the world tomorrow? Learn to love your enemies. Learn to pray for those that despitefully use you. Show mercy just as your Father shows mercy. You don't pray for mercy every day. You might want to plug that in. Okay. I do. I need all the mercy I can get. And think about, how will this attitude be helpful in dealing with people in the millennium? You know, you just project that after all of the great tribulation and all of the things people have been through and they'll be gathered from different nations, how will this attitude be helpful in dealing with these people? I mean, you look at what people will have come from. The great white throne judgment, when people are raised up out of their graves, they're going to be coming from all kinds of circumstances that will have been devastating to them. Few of them, you know, the wars, the division, like is in this country now. How are we going to be able to help them? Pain, suffering, homeless. I mean, you look at, there's so many problems. How are you going to deal with it? Having mercy, love, having patience, having kindness, having wisdom. These are all the powers we're going to need. Acts 2:17 says, it will come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that was fulfilled in part in Acts chapter 2. John 7:38, on that last great day, he said, he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing on him would receive. And people will have access to God's Holy Spirit in the millennium, in the great white throne judgment. Isaiah 41 verse 9, he said, I brought you out from the ends of the earth. I called you from its furthest corners and said to you, you're my servant. I did not reject you, but I chose you. And these will be the people coming, gathering, the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennium, in the great white throne judgment. Principle also applies. He says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong. I'll give you the power through my Spirit. I'll protect and I'll save you. In Isaiah 45, 22, he says, turn to me now and be saved, people all over the world. I am the only God there is. And going back to Mr. Foster's sermon, I'll make a promise by my own power. And my promise is true. I promise that everyone will bow before me and will promise to follow me. And people will say about me, goodness and power come only from the Lord. Your goodness and your power that you have today comes only from the Lord. pray for, access His Spirit specifically with the things that you know you need and the things you don't know you need, for God to give you the wisdom to be who you need to be, then you can help these people. And then finally, the Holy Spirit will be given at the second resurrection. Ezekiel 37:13, then you will know I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, my people, when I've brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my Spirit in you, and you'll live. And then, because His Spirit is working in them, they'll know and understand all 10 of the commandments, not just a few. They'll know His way. Then you'll know and understand and realize that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This is what we have to look forward to. It's what all people have to look forward to, is accessing the superpower. Are you using your superpower that you have access to? I'll leave you with this scripture, which I love. Ephesians 3:20. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Ask for His superpower for the right reasons. In verse 21, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Go use that power.